Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Our subject tonight will be the arm of the Lord. This is a very interesting question the prophet's asking. It's one of those questions that answers itself in so many ways. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord, meaning in the Hebrew here, as though His arm is stretched out. Figuratively speaking, it's a force, a help, a mighty power, a shoulder, strength. The arm of the Lord representing strength. And He asked, to whom is the arm of the Lord? Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That arm is revealed to those who believe the report. And to those who the arm is revealed, they have believed the report. That's simple tonight. He is the rock. He is our rock. He is our fortress. The household of Judah is in a dilemma. They went after the idols of the country around them. They failed to align themselves with the Word of God. God is looking at them. God is watching them. God is yet loving them. And so God wants to give them a response and an answer to all of their problems that's due to the fact that they have transgressed the law and the Word of God. So God speaks to His prophet prophetically of the revealing of His arm of God. That arm of God, that power of God, that strength of God being revealed in Jesus Christ, whom this prophecy is really about. But I wanted to look at this, the arm of the Lord. And many and several have testified tonight of the rock, the cleft of the rock, the song, the rock of ages. Amazing grace, my chains are gone. How did my chains leave? Because the power of God reached further down than I could reach up. The strong arm of the Lord, He has revealed His arm. It's not as though it's saying He's rolled His sleeve up. He's revealed His power. And certainly in an hour tonight when good is called evil and evil is called bad, evil is called good, we need to see the arm of the Lord. We need to understand and realize and embrace this truth that God is still God no matter what. And His power is still the greatest power upon the face of this earth. There is no military power on this globe that is greater than the power of God. Who hath believed our report? Is there anybody that will believe the report and that will see the power of God being manifested in their lives, being manifested in their church, being manifested in their family, being manifested on the job, being manifested at school? Wherever we may be, we have the opportunity of seeing the power of God, seeing the revealing of the hand of God. So I wanted to look at the arm of the Lord through several different things tonight. One is a reminder of God's great power in times gone by. We cannot live in the past, but a reminder of where God was in our life in the past and a reminder of what God did in the past, it certainly bolsters our faith. When we begin to realize and believe that He is the same and He has not changed, and he's just as powerful as he was then. So I can look back at a valley that I may have went through, look back at a high mountain that I had to climb, look back at times when the adversary was coming against me so great that I thought there's no way I can win. But some way, somehow, I believe the report that God is God and there's none beside him. I believe the report, and all of a sudden, in the middle of my trial, in the middle of my valley, in the middle of the chaos that's going on in my mind and going on in my life, I saw the arm of the Lord. I said, I saw the arm of the Lord as he reached farther down than I could reach up. And reminded, hey, that arm is still powerful. That arm is still powerful. The prophet Jeremiah, speaking on God's behalf, said, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. God said, I stretched my arm out. I created all of this, and I gave it to whoever I wanted to. So what can he do when I need that arm revealed to me? In the book of Deuteronomy, the Word of God says in chapter 7, verse 19, the great temptations, speaking to Israel, which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. All your adversaries, all that comes against you as a child of God. He said, look, don't you remember the outstretched arm of the Lord? The psalmist said, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. God is not going down. It may look like America's going down the sewer pipe right now. Her morals are dropping, seem like more every day. Her military strength, I got a suspicion, is dropping more every day. And it seems like she's going down the pipes quick. But I can tell you that God Almighty is not headed in that direction. He's going to be God when everything else is destroyed, when everything else falls apart. I got my faith based upon Him, not myself, not the government, not consciousness of man or his intellect, but it's built upon that rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Thank God for that arm outstretched. When I hear him, when I hear the report, when I believe the report, when I receive the report, all I got to do is wait on him. Wait on him. The psalmist said in another place, thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. That means meditate on that. Muse on that. Think about that for a while. Think about that, what the pastor read tonight. He said, I remember days of old. A look at the arm of the Lord through a reminder of God's great power in times gone by. He opened up my introduction for a message tonight. He said, he read, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I see the mountains, the work of his hands. I see the beautiful tree and foliage, the work of his hands. I see the carving out of the rivers, the work of his hands. But then I look a little farther and I see another work of his hands that brings awe to my mind and brings awe to my thinking and gives me something really to make.
something really to muse at. The work of his hands. How did he move in my heart and draw me by conviction? And it took a heart that was darkened with sin. Took a heart that was destined for hell and the judgment of God. And it lifted me up and set my feet on higher ground and made a brand new creature. As we sung the song, I may have shared with you before how it took me a long time to write the song that we just sung, because I tried to write it leaning toward a valley and a trial that I had in my life. I never thought it'd be this way. This feeling deep inside, words I cannot say, emotions I can't hide. Those emotions came out. I cried, I fretted about that valley, but I couldn't get past that line until the Lord began to show me, son, it's not the valley that I want you to spend your time singing about. It's not the valley that I want you to spend your time talking about. I want you to think about the victory. The victory when God's strong hand was revealed that I can lift you out of sin. I can lift you out of the quagmires of evil. I can set your feet on higher ground. Meditate on that. And so I said, I never thought it'd be this way. This feeling deep inside. Words I cannot say. Emotions I can't hide. He saved my soul from sin. He gave me peace within. Jesus, I give you all of me. I can't give him any less. I said, I can't give him any less. Jesus. I'm remembering the revealing of the arm of the Lord in my life. I look at the arm of the Lord through God's call upon His people. God's calling on Israel here. He's calling on Judah here. He's calling on them. His call upon His people, Romans 10:21. But to Israel He saith, all day long I have stretched out my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? All day long, He said, I'm stretching out my hands. Would you see it? Would you see it? He could say to those that are rebelling, we consider the arm of the Lord through His pleading with His people. And we consider that same arm that will come toward those of unbelief and idolatry. Those that will ignore the Word of God. Those that will ignore the pulling and the drawing of the Spirit of God. And none of us are exempt from falling into that place of ignoring. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Doesn't matter how many goosebumps have went up and down your spine when you was at church. Doesn't matter how good you feel when you come to church. You're a candidate, just like everybody else is, to ignore the Word of God. To be distracted and to be drawn away by other things around you. And so His arm is also reaching out in care and love to embrace. But in Jeremiah 21:5, He says, and I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. Same arm. Same arm. Zedekiah, the king of Judah, was told, you need to surrender. God's promised you life if you surrender. And He's not going to do it. They're not listening to God. Jeremiah's preaching his heart out to those folks. Turn to God. Turn to God. Turn to God. Turn to His Word. They're not doing it. And then God says, all right. That same arm that will be stretched out to lift you up out of your burden. That same arm that will be stretched out to give you courage and embrace you and hold you can be against you. It is a very careful life. It is a very, very conscious life, living the life of a child of God. It is no casual thing. Just hit and miss. Kind of like somebody doing a job and they don't really care as long as they get that payday. They just hit and miss. But at the end of the day, the product has many flaws in it. At the end of the day, the quality is very poor.
Right.
This is not a hit and miss thing. We've got to know that we got it right. We've got to know that we're pleasing not our conscience, that we're pleasing not our feelings and not our mindset of opinions, but we got to know that we're pleasing Him based on the Word of God. That arm would be stretched out against us. Surely not a God of love. He just said it right here, to the apple of His eye. We just happen to be blessed as Gentiles to be grafted in the vine. God handpicked and first picked Israel. And He's been gracious to us to let us come in as adopted children. Thank God. But listen, He said, I'm going to bring them back. God loves Israel, but the ones He loves, He said, look, I'll stretch that arm out of strength. And it'll be against you if you do not listen to My voice. A look at the arm of the Lord through His promise of power in present circumstances. Exodus 6 and 6. Moses is told by God to speak to the children of Israel. And He says to them, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Brother Shane, I thought about that just then. I thought about how we have church all over the country, camp meetings all over the country, and preacher after preacher climbs in the pulpit and preaches. I remember reading in the book of Ezekiel where God told Ezekiel that He was like a beautiful song to them. We go to churches and apparently if you sing good. Because they're going to give you an applause when you get done. Always thought worshiping was glorifying God like we're doing it here tonight. And I get happy in the Lord and go to clap in my hands sometimes, but it's not on cue when somebody just did something to entertain me. Because it's obvious that's what's happened, whether they would admit it or not, whether we would admit it or not, that applause can't be for the Lord or we'd have done been doing it while God was blessing us with the song. But we wait till the rendition is over. Only thing's lacking is this.
Oh, praise God. Everybody ain't happy tonight. If you are, show me by your face.
And preaching has become a song, a pleasant song into the ears of the folks in the pews. Where how awesome it should be, and we desire so for it to be this way that when the man of God steps in the pulpit and just simply says, the Word of God says that our hearts should shudder and our ears tune in with an awesome realization he's fixing to speak for God. And we're fixing to hear hear a word from God. The story's told, I don't remember who told it or where it was, and I don't remember the complete details. I'm very limited on details when I tell stories. But they said that this older preacher man come, and his son, I think, was holding a big tent meeting, and they asked him to come up and say something. And I believe what they said, he said to begin with, he just simply got up there and said, "The Lord said," and said, when he did, that place melted with the presence of God. The awesome anointing of the Holy Ghost settled upon that congregation because they embraced the words that was fixing to be told. Before the word was ever spoken of what the Lord said, if I remember the story right, they embraced it. Why? Because they were told it's what God said. And because they were told what God said, they were ready to receive what God said and apply what God said. And Moses is told by God, I'm talking about a promise of power in the present circumstance. The arm of the Lord being revealed unto His people. He told Moses, he said, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. All I really need to hear from my pastor, from my church friend, from my peer, from my person I've got confidence in, is that the Lord said, I will be with you. I should never say, oh, but what if, or but, or any conjunctions in there, but simply believe, if God said it, I can stand on it, because I've seen that arm before, I've seen that power before, and I believe that even right now, in my circumstance, that hand, that arm is ready to stretch out on my behalf. Say unto them, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. Isaiah 52 and 10, the Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of the nation. Made bare, meaning He's revealed His power. He's revealed His power. Oh, that muscle man walk up in here and say, let me roll my sleeve up and show you this. Hop up on that crow. No, it wasn't that kind of arm. It was a representative of His power. I simply feel like sense in my heart tonight to just simply encourage you to lean on that everlasting arm. That are representing the power of God. Oh, what fellowship. Oh, what joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arm, the arm of the Lord. We might sing that song, Sister Valerie, and think about a big arm and we leaning upon it. But like you said, in that cleft of that rock, sometimes we miss seeing that cleft that God already put there. Sometimes singing that song, and I like for the sister to be ready to play it when we get through here after a while. Sometimes we fail to see it's more than just an arm. That we can physically imagine in our mind leaning upon. But I lean upon that power. When the pressures of life come upon me, and I know the way to walk, and I know what God's Word is saying, right, and I see everybody around me doing something else, there is a power that is available to me that helps me keep on going. Helps me keep on walking in the way that I know I should walk in. The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. Every one of them seen it. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of the Lord. They shall see the evidence and the reality of the power that's in that arm. Looking at the arm of the Lord through our faith in the arm of the Lord. The psalmist said, Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. The prophet Jeremiah said in 32:17, he said, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Ah, Lord God, I think he may have said it kind of like this. Ah! I mean, just, have you ever been overwhelmed? Just overwhelmed. Ah! I remember getting overwhelmed one night that the Lord's providence kept my wife from getting cut up real bad. We were in the bed asleep. And in the night, our daughter, which was a very small child at the time in another room, in her room across the hall, she cried out in the middle of the night, Mama, Mama. Well, she didn't know what she wanted, and when I'm asleep, I'm asleep. So Mama takes the call. And she goes in there and says, What's wrong? She said, Did you hurt your foot? She said she dreamed you had... With her foot all right. Well, yeah, her foot's all right. No reason for it not to be. But about that time, this big double mirror that was hanging over our dresser in our bedroom decided to come unattached from the wall. And when it did, it went boom! And hit that dresser and hit that floor, and glass was everywhere. Can you figure out the providence of God had that child to call her Mama? Because Mama would have jumped immediately at the sound of that on her side of the bed and went running through that glass to get to their baby to see if she's all right and cut her feet all up. Well, when I heard that boom, I didn't say, Ah! I said, Oh! Overwhelmed, because I didn't know what it was either. And I think I jumped off on the floor, you know, just like to dodge bullets or something. I didn't know what was going on. But Jeremiah said, Oh! Oh, Lord God! I'm overwhelmed with this truth that You have made the heaven and You have made the earth. It does me good sometimes to step outside at night and without a telescope, with these natural eyes that have to have eyeglasses to see things down here. But I can see stars that are many, many, many miles away. I can see Venus and identify where it's at. I see that Milky Way. I see all of these things. I see the moon. I see the sun. That truth Hallelujah. Our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith in that arm of the Lord. In Jesus, the arm of the Lord revealed. For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant. And as a root out of a dry ground, He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Sister piano player, could you come? Praise the Lord. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. When we sing leaning on the everlasting arm of God. Brother, could you come? Get ready to lead that song. Jesus Christ is the arm of the Lord revealed. They that believe the report can see it. They that see it have believed the report. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from the prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The arm of the Lord. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Are you leaning on the everlasting arm? Let's sing that song. If the Lord's dealing with your heart tonight concerning you leaning upon other things besides that arm, I'd invite you to come and pray.